Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
Okay, let's, without any further ado, get you the 411 on the highlights in this year's 2024 spending plan. So, Sheldon, if you would, let's bring up the graphics and get the show on the road. We're calling this first section, Hey Big Spender, because yes, indeed, the province is going to spend a lot of your money this year. On healthcare alone, $85 billion for the fiscal year starting on the 1st of April and going till next year. How about education? $37.6 billion. And how about interest on the debt? That's almost $14 billion right now. Interest on the debt alone. Add it all up, including all the other programs, and the government of Ontario is going to spend $214.5 billion this year. Let's look at some of what they're spending it on. Building Ontario. There's $190.2 billion over 10 years budgeted for spending on highways, transit, broadband, and other infrastructure. And let's break that down a little bit so you can see what it's being spent on. $67.5 billion for public transit, which are projects including, for example, extending the Hazel McCallion LRT into downtown Brampton, building the Ontario subway line from the Science Centre to the X in Toronto, improvements for all-day service on the Kitchener line, and expanding GO train service in Milton, where, funnily enough, there's going to be a by-election coming up soon. How about for highway construction and improvements? There's $27.4 billion there. And that includes projects such as the Highway 413 across Halt and Peel and York regions, expanding the 401 in Pickering, a new Highway 7 from Kitchener to Guelph, a new interchange for Highway 401 in Windsor, and continuing the widening of Highway 69 from Parry Sound to Sudbury. Those are just a few of the many projects on the books planned for the next 10 years. Electric vehicle production. Boy, is this province making a big bet on that, because over the past 3 years, Ontario has attracted, according to the budget, $28 billion in EV-related production. That's auto assembly, batteries, battery components, and EV parts. We are, apparently, the only subnational jurisdiction, meaning not a country, a province or a state, in North America where all the big five are at work. Ford, GM, Honda, Stellantis, and Toyota, they're all here. And Volkswagen is coming. They've got that EV battery cell manufacturing plant in St. Thomas that, when they finish it, will be the fourth biggest building in the world. All of that still to come. Other expenditures. This one isn't a huge amount of money, but it will capture a lot of attention on the issue of public safety. There's $46 million in here for four new helicopters for the Ontario Provincial Police. Now, how's this for chickens coming home to roost? Do you remember Bill 124? That was the sort of wage suppression bill that the government brought in several years ago. Well, the courts decided it was illegal, and as a result, there is a $6 billion bill due for public servants. That money, some of which, is being seen in this budget as well. How about other notes of concern? The post-secondary sector, they're going to see their revenues drop because the federal government is cutting back on visas for foreign students. So the post-secondary sector is going to be off $1.4 billion in this fiscal year, and another $1.7 billion in the next fiscal year. How is all that money going to be made up? Still to be determined. We do love our sins, don't we? Yes, we do. The LCBO, the Liquor Control Board of Ontario, is expected to return to the Treasury $2.45 billion in revenues in this fiscal year. That's actually down a bit. The economy's softening, and they expect to sell a little less booze this year than last. How about lottery and gaming? $2.62 billion going back to the Treasury. And some of you like to toke. So the Ontario Cannabis Store, TOCS for short, will remit $225 million to the Treasury. Now, you add up all the spending, you add up all the revenue projections, and we are in a bit of a hole. For the fiscal year we are leaving, that is, at the end of this month, the 2023-24 fiscal year, the deficit will be $3 billion, they estimate. For the fiscal year we're about to enter, $9.8 billion, more than three times as much. Then trending downwards in the following fiscal year to $4.6 billion, but no balanced budgets, according to this budget, until the year 2026-27. So, those are the numbers. Let's now find out why the government has made the decisions it has made. Joining us now from the Frost Block at Queen's Park, Peter Bethlenfalvy. He's Ontario's Minister of Finance and the MPP for Pickering-Uxbridge. And Treasurer, we are always grateful for your continuing the budget tradition of spending so much time with us here at TVO. And I want to start with one of the, I guess, more concerning things about the budget and the budget forecast. And that is, you really don't like where economic growth is going over the next few years. Why is it softening up so much?
Well, we've seen, great to be with you again, Steve. You know, we've seen around the world things are slowing down. These high interest rates are biting. You know, the UK is in recession. Japan is in recession. And, you know, we're not an island in Ontario and in Canada. We're not immune from these global forces. But, you know, that has an impact on our revenues. But one thing I know, because I've been around for a while, is we go through economic cycles. Things slow down and they pick up again. And one thing that I think is important is that we don't slow down our investments in Ontario, that we keep going.
Maybe you could help explain to people why the deficit the year we're coming out of is only $3 billion, but the fiscal year we're about to enter, you're forecasting a almost a $10 billion deficit, more than three times higher. How come?
Yeah, a couple of things. You know, first off, you know, everyone's expected the slowdown to be right around the corner, and it keeps getting pushed out. And, you know, maybe we can bounce on the bottom for a while with slower growth. Maybe we never go into recession, and certainly that I'm an optimist. But, you know, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. So, you know, that's made previous years a little bit better from a revenue point of view, but we're definitely feeling a slowdown, like every province in Canada is. Seeing a slowdown in revenues. We've seen that in Quebec. We've seen that in BC. Maybe we'll see that in Ottawa. So it's not out of the ordinary that the revenues do get softer. And that has the impact of increasing your deficit. But again, I kind of look at it and say that's short term. You know, but these investments we're making, Steve, for infrastructure, for the economy, and supporting workers, those are long term investments. Those roads will be here 50, 100 years from now. The hospitals will be here 50, 100 years and out. So we're going to keep investing in that critical infrastructure, regardless of the economic environment.
I want to ask you about what I guess is maybe the biggest bet this province has made, well, maybe ever, but certainly in my lifetime, and that is the bet on electric vehicles. We are subsidizing and putting investments to the tune of billions upon billions upon billions of dollars into being the EV leaders of the future. And my question is, how much do you worry that if we've bet wrong, we're in a whole heap of trouble?
No, I don't spend too much time losing sleep over that. I mean, look at the factors that are driving that. Climate change, which we all agree we have to do what we can. And electric vehicles are part of the future. And then I look at safety of supply, security of supply, a lot of these critical minerals that go in, not just car batteries, but cell phones and other things. You know, those critical minerals come out of China and other places around the world that aren't too safe. We've got them right here in Ontario. Then I think about the talent that we have in Ontario. We've got a history of auto manufacturing, advanced manufacturing, technology, a great college and university system. Why wouldn't we again be the economic engine for car manufacturing in North America? So I think it's all lining up. And, you know, we've also got a clean electricity grid to fuel that that EV revolution through investing in nuclear and hydro and renewables. So, you know, we've got it all. Like, I travel the world. They are so envious of what we've got here in Ontario. So I think, let's keep those investments going. We're attracting capital, long-term capital into Ontario. At Volkswagen, a 16 million square foot plant. You don't do that if you don't believe that electric vehicles are going to be part of the future. And those are great jobs and that are going to be here for a long time.
Well, let me ask you about that electricity grid that you just referenced, because if EVs take off in the way that we all obviously hope they will, there will be a requirement for a lot more electricity generation in the province of Ontario. I'm wondering, and I think you're a Montrealer originally, so I'm wondering whether you have any thoughts about putting money aside to create transmission lines so we can import cheap, reliable, clean power, hydroelectric power from Quebec to bring into Ontario. What do you think of that idea?
Well, you know, people have floated that idea. I talked to the experts and they tell me it makes absolutely no sense. First of all, you'd have to build a ton of infrastructure. And guess what? when it's really cold in Quebec, when we really need the power here in Ontario, you know, they can't deliver that. They can't guarantee that supply. We can't have the risk of electricity because they can't supply us. And we export energy often to them because of our nuclear power capabilities at certain times when they don't have that capacity, like in the winter. So no, we've chosen another path, and that path is to generate where we have a competitive and comparative advantage. We're one of the leaders in the world in nuclear. We're refurbishing our nuclear capacity. It represents about 60% of our electricity in Ontario. It's green, it's clean, it's good jobs, it's safe. So we are going to continue doing that. And in fact, we're increasing the investment because we're investing in small modular reactors. We've announced four. We've already started work on the first one. And people around the world are asking, wow, that's incredible. What are you doing in Ontario? We want to learn from you. And they're coming, whether it's Poland or I was in Germany. They're asking a lot of questions, Romania, elsewhere in the world. So I think we've got all the ingredients right here in Ontario. And we have a comparative advantage for the cleanest electricity grid, if not in Canada, you know, beyond our borders around the world.
Well, let me ask you a follow-up on that, because I guess the Pickering Nuclear Generating Station, is it in your riding? If it's not in your riding, it's right beside your riding.
It sure is.
It is in your riding. Okay.
Well, it's right in my riding. It's part of my riding.
Okay. You know, it's coming. It's 50 years old, and needless to say, there are some people who worry whether or not you are, by trying to extend its life, pushing it, taking too many chances. What do you think?
Absolutely not. And in fact, you know, when we made the announcement that we're looking at refurbishing the Pickering Nuclear Station, we had a couple hundred, 200, 300 people show up for that announcement. I mean, the community in Pickering, writ large, supports these good jobs in the community. They know it's safe. And you know what? We've refurbished successfully nuclear reactors at Bruce Power and the Georgian Peninsula, further east along 401 and Darlington. That's going on time and on budget. So we know how to do that. We have the skilled workers. We have the engineers. We've got the nuclear expertise right here. And the research that I've heard, and I certainly feel, is that Ontarians support clean, green nuclear energy. And we've got that advantage, and it's right here. And I've gotten a lot of support in my community for that.
One of the other traditions on our budget night show here on TVO is that, how do I put this? I'm like a dog with a bone when it comes to the issue of electricity subsidization. And full disclosure, you and I have already had this conversation last year and the year before, and we had it this afternoon in the budget lockup. I keep asking you about this because every time I do, people say, keep hammering him on this because you're right and he's wrong. So let's try this again, shall we? The province of Ontario is going to spend $7.3 billion this fiscal year subsidizing the cost of electricity for people like you and me who don't need that subsidy. Why are we still doing that?
You know what, Steve? You know what the definition when you keep asking the same thing and expect a different outcome? But you know, all kidding aside, you know, look, we inherited a failed electricity system. I mean, we saw under the previous government, electricity costs spiral. We saw a failed Fair Hydro plan. We saw the $6 million man. We saw energy bills go through the roof. You know, and what we said, we're not going to do that on the backs of people. That's what we inherited. And so now we're investing in what I think is a better plan through nuclear, through wind and renewables, and through hydro, which will get us to 100% clean energy footprint, which, by the way, we're among the leaders in the world already, but we're going to keep going. But what I'm not going to do is put those costs on the backs of the people, particularly right now. You know, people are hurting right across the province. They don't want to see their bills go up anywhere. And that is a big part of the reason why, you know, we're cutting the gas tax. We provided driver license rebates. We've increased the minimum wage. We're supporting vulnerable ODSP and senior citizens through indexing support payments. We're doing many things. In fact, it totals up to $8.4 billion of relief in our budget for people in their pocketbooks. And I think given the environment that we're in, that's the right thing to do.
I do definitely understand the definition of insanity, which is doing the same damn thing every time and expecting a different outcome. But humor me, I'm going back at this again, because what you said, forgive me, is not responsive to the question. I'm not questioning what kind of electricity generation you have in the mix. What I'm questioning is why you are subsidizing the electricity usage of millionaires. That's not you and me, but that is other people. Why don't you take part of that $7.3 billion and forget subsidizing people who've got big houses and don't need it and direct it to something more effective? That's the question.
Well, no, you're going towards millionaires. There's a lot of people who use a lot of electricity right across the province, and I'm not about to penalize all those that are doing it, you know, going about their daily lives, doing their jobs, driving their kids to school, getting to work, and seeing their hydro bills go up. You know what we could do, Steve? Where you really should focus on is not on that, but maybe talk to our friends in Ottawa and say, you know, cut or pause that carbon tax, because that is increasing the cost of everything. It's not just
that's your job. I'm not going to do that. That's your job to bug them. That's not my job.
Okay, well, I was anyway. Hoping that I could get you to join us, but ask them the tough questions.
Moving right along. One of the things we found out today is that the chickens have come home to roost on Bill 124, which was that wage suppression bill that you brought in order to sort of dampen the increase in wages. And we now know it's going to cost $6 billion to sort of settle that thing. And I guess my question is, that's a heck of a bill to have to pay. Was it worth bringing in Bill 124, given the price tag?
You know, at the time that we put it in place, you know, we inherited a big deficit, $15 billion, a much smaller economy at the time. I mean, our economy is over $1.1 trillion now. But back then it was smaller, and that was a much bigger deficit relative to our economy. And you had choices. Do you cut people, or how do you rein in spending? And we chose that path at a time when inflation was actually between 1% and 2%. You know, then we had a pandemic, and now we have high interest rates and inflation, and the court spoke, so we've chosen to move forward. And that funding was incorporated in our 23-24 numbers, our 22-23. So that money's in our budget and accounted for, and we're just going to move forward. And, you know, Steve, what people want us to do now is they want us to rebuild the economy. They want us to keep going on building the roads and those hospitals. They want us to keep going on those transit lines so that we can get out of gridlock. They want to keep investing in schools and helping to keep costs down, like the continued cut in the gas tax. So that's what this budget's about.
Okay, one last thing I want to raise with you, and this also is a bit of a tradition in our budget coverage, and that is, you know, budget day is more than just the numbers. There's usually a dramatic moment in the treasurer's budget speech, and there was for you today. You opened your speech talking about a young man who left Eastern Europe many, many years ago, came to Canada, ended up, I guess, in Montreal at first, then went to U of T, had three kids. And, well, here's how you picked up the story in the legislature earlier today. Sheldon, roll it if you will.
Mr. Speaker, that young man... That young man who came to Canada is my father. Mr. Speaker, that young man who came to Canada is my father, and I dedicate this budget to him and the hope and dream for all 16 million Ontarians that they can have the same opportunity as my father had, an opportunity to build a future right here in the great province of Ontario.
Now, that was a very nice moment, and I remember a couple of years ago, your dad had COVID, and you were telling me then, I'm going to make sure he gets better, and we're going to share a scotch. So he's 94 now, so I guess that happened. How's he doing?
He's doing fine, and thanks for asking. And you know what? He's still drinking scotch. You know, he can drink me under the table, and he's 94. So, you know, it's, you know, all kidding aside, you know, it is a touching moment for me because I know... Imagine leaving your home when you're 19 and never seeing your parents again. We went back a couple times after the Iron Curtain fell to see his house where he grew up, and he saw his mom and dad for the first time. Those many years later, about 50 years later, they're tombstones. So, you know, it was the honor and privilege of a lifetime to be able to dedicate it to my father.
Treasurer, that's a lovely story. We're glad he's doing well. And as I said off the top, we're really glad you could join us tonight on TVO for our annual Budget Day coverage. Take care and thanks.
So good to be with you again, Steve. Thank you.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.